It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, sleeping on the wheel right there, sleeping on the start. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Got a good show lined up for you today. We're going to talk quite a bit today. So many things to talk about in motorsports right now. We're going to talk to me and Austin are going to converse back and forth about a lot of different things that are going on today. And we're also going to have Seth Bergman on, who picked up the win last weekend. And so we'll have Seth Bergman on. Have you ever raced with Seth Bergman very much, Austin?
Last weekend.
Yeah. Did you get to race with him a little bit?
No, he ended up drawing a different heat race than me. And then I started, you know, like 17th. So, and he, I think he started up on the front row. So I haven't raced with him a whole lot. He's came and ran some regional stuff before he went and worked with Garrett Williamson and Brian Paper Motorsports last year. And I always enjoy doing it because I get to learn how to be really aggressive. That's right. One thing you'll get to learn when you race Seth. He's super aggressive and doesn't miss his mark. And it's always good to watch Seth and learn a thing or two.
Listen, I just say it about Seth Bergman, one of the best 360 drivers in the country. Without a doubt, he is definitely one of the very best when it comes to driving a 360. What do you think about that?
No, I have to agree with you. I mean, you know, he's always a contender. You know, I remember last year he had, you know, really bad luck at the start of the season, but
tore up a lot of stuff.
He did, but in the races that, you know, he did tear stuff up, he was contending for wins. I know he was leading at Tri-City for almost the entire race and just, you know, bad luck caught him. And, I mean, if he can ever shake some bad luck and get a good season strung together, he's going to be a contender for a championship.
I think he's going to be a contender this year, actually, to be honest with you. I think he'll be in the middle of it this year. I know there's a lot of new guys that are going to be running with the Tour this year, but you know what? Blake Kahn, Matt Covington, and Dylan Westbrook, Seth Bergman, those got to be your top four guys to win the championship. What do you think?
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I was kind of surprised not to see Dylan Westbrook at Lucas Oil this past week. And, you know, you saw a lot of guys that are going to run full-time at the Tour down there trying to get laps in because...
You know what I think's going on? I think he's going to go 410 racing.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Because, listen, every time we've watched him in a 410...
He's done really good.
He's done really good, right? So why would he want to mess around? You know, he could travel around with Sam. Sam can be his mentor and give him a lot of advice on what to do with the 410 and whatnot. So, yeah, I think that's what's going on. So, Dylan Westbrook wasn't there last weekend.
No, I know we don't get a race at Lucas a whole lot. And with him, you know, deciding to run the Tour full-time, you got three big nights there in September. And that place is kind of hard to get a hold of and really learn it. So anytime you get like a test and tune night to go down there, you're going to need to take your opportunity and go down and do it. And I think you just, you know, rather go race 410s. I don't blame them. That's where everybody kind of wants to be.
That's the trend right now. Yeah. Everybody's trying to move toward the 410s. Well, and we know why too, don't we, Austin? It's because of the money, right?
Yeah, you can make a lot. Well, yeah, a lot more money. You don't really make a whole lot of money racing.
You know what we need to do? We need to get rid of your 360 and buy you a 410.
Yeah.
Or just buy a 410. But I can't buy it for you. Sorry.
We'll figure it out at some point.
We'll try to figure it out in some way. Hey, did you hear about the ASCS Frontier Region at the Desert Thunder Raceway postponed due to tire shortage? Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Yeah. That came out on the 15th. Brian Hobart put a press release out saying due to tire shortage down there in the desert, they're not going to be able to run this weekend. So... you can find that on ASCSRacing.com. Again, that's ASCSRacing.com. Brian Hobart does a great job with that website and keeping everybody up to date on what's going on around the country with all the regions and whatnot. So ASCS Frontier Region at the Desert Thunder Raceway postponed due to tire shortage. Here we go. Another race lost to tire shortage.
Well, also, too, I mean, it was a good call. You're racing in the desert area where, I mean, not all the tracks are super dry. I mean, you get some tracks that have some moisture in them, but it's hard to water sand and keep all that stuff, you know, right, suitable for sprint car racing and what we're in right now. So, yeah, I mean.
So maybe the combination of burning up tires versus not having enough tires is the, I don't know if that's the case or not, but I'm just going to go by what they say. They just don't have enough tires out there.
Enough tires, yeah. And, you know, you got to look at where you're racing at, too. I mean, I know this weekend at Tri-City, we're supposed to only have 50 medium right rears available for ASCS cars, and that's two nights of racing, and
right,
we have to qualify both nights, so at least, you know, your premier teams need at least one new tire every night, and
right,
you can only will go so far.
Right, right. Tim's checking in from Iowa City. Caleb's hanging out with us. Austin's back. Westbrook ran I-96. Oh, well. How about that? I didn't even pay attention to that. Blake could have caught Seth if it weren't for the 50 car again. Who's the 50 car? Not sure who the 50 car is, to be honest with you. There's our favorite. Good day, boys. Marie's checking in as well. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show. Did you get a chance to go back and watch that race with Robert Ballew at I-70 Speedway? Did you watch that race?
I got to see some of the highlights last night or during yesterday's show when we were talking to Robert. And, you know, lap traffic really made that really interesting.
It
with
did,
him.
Didn't it?
You know, if it really wasn't for lap traffic, you would have seen Ballew, you know, win by at least half a track or so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it just held him up. And did you see the move where Robert split those two cars going down the front straightaway? And that really separated Brady and him. Because Brady, once he got to those two cars, they were racing each other. One was at the top, one was at the bottom. It took him a little time to get around those two cars. But that was the move that sealed the race for Robert Ballew, is when he split those two cars going down the front straightaway right as he entered turn one. That was really... That's really what got him the win that night, I thought.
Well, he talked about it yesterday of, you know, how much I-70 is momentum dependent.
Yeah.
I mean, all big tracks are like that, but especially at that place. And, you know, he had to take every opportunity. I mean, if it was even, you know, having a chance of tearing your race car up, I mean, you have to take it because the guy behind you is going to be coming. And if you break your momentum for just half a second or a split second, I mean, it could end your race just like that.
I haven't looked up. Marie says, what do you think about the car count today at Bridgeport? Are we short on cars, Marie? I'm not sure. I haven't even looked over there to see how many cars are going to be there. Brady bought that at the, brought that up at the interview that night. Yeah, no doubt about it. I don't know. What is the car count? Can we find that out? Is there any way that we can look that up, Austin, to see what the car count is going to be out of Bridgeport? Marie, are you concerned that we're not going to have enough cars out there? I don't understand the question, really, to be honest with you. So if you'd like to call in, you can always do that. Today would be a great day to call in because we're going to take some phone calls if you want to call in. Just give us a call if you'd like to. 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. We'll open up the phone lines right now. You can give us a call anytime that you would like to. 55 at Lincoln, but All Stars are headed to Indy. Do you think that'll make much difference?
I think if any of your All Star cars that ran at Lincoln, you won't see them at Bridgeport. I mean, you're going to...
Yeah.
You're trying to race against a series, and you know with the packages that they have for memberships, you know, teams aren't allowed to do that. I think you're going to have, you know, anywhere from probably 30 to 35 at Bridgeport, because you'll get some of the New Jersey cars and some East Coast cars on the south side of the state of Pennsylvania to come and show up.
Yeah, no, not sure, but everyone is thinking 50 cars. Man, if they have 50 cars, you know, the problem when you have too many cars, it wears out the track. Right? I mean, you got qualifying, you got the dash, you got a lot of stuff going on there. You got to run your heat races, you got to run your Bs. And it typically, for the most time, whenever I see a car count of 50 cars, I always think about what is the track going to be at the end of the night.
Well, I mean, if you have a good track crew that's, you know, knows how to rework a track throughout the night and keep it good, you won't have a problem with it, or you'll just have
Yeah.
You can be somewhere you can be like some of our local tracks around here that are just lazy, and once you run hot laps, go sit on a lawn chair and watch the track unfold and, you know, watch it take rubber or whatever. So, I mean, if you go to a place that knows what's going on, you won't have a problem with the track being worn out. It might get slick and wide, but you won't have an issue with rubber or anything like that. I wouldn't think, at least.
Right, no, I wouldn't think so either, but I don't know, man. Anytime I see 55 at Lincoln, but all stars are heading to Indy. I think 50 cars is enough to wear out a track. I mean, look at it. When we go down, I know this is completely different, right? But when we go to Lucas Oil Speedway and we run 60 non-wing cars and then we run 60 wing cars, that's tough on the track, right?
Yeah, I know, like, the last night for the final night of the Jesse Hockett race last year, they reworked it a couple of times, and especially right before the feature. And, yeah, the feature was kind of, you know, one lane for probably 10, 15 laps of the race, and then it got pretty good towards the end. So,
right.
I mean, you can get away with it, but like I said, you just got to be up on your track prep.
Yeah. Hey, just on a little side note today, so everybody, I want everybody to know that my boy Austin O'Neill is graduating from high school this weekend. He's in 12th grade. He's 18 years old. Today was your last day in school today, wasn't it, Austin?
It was. I walked out.
How did that feel coming out of school knowing that was your last day of high school?
It'll probably hit me later on, but I walked out just mindset. Like another I got to go to work, and I'll go home work on the race cars after that. But it just, I mean, about time, really. I've wanted to be out of there for quite some time now. But.
Right, right. So, with that being said, today you told me that they were letting students drive any kind of car they want to work today, and you were thinking about driving your sprint car in there.
Yeah, I rushed home last night from our show and started doing maintenance on my car, and I got it ready to roll out the door, and I was thinking how I could get into the parking lot, and I was going to use a four-wheeler just to roll it in, and I didn't have a place to park my trailer. You know, it's a pretty big unit. It's 36 foot long, and I put a truck on it. It's even longer than that. So it's the high school surrounded by a neighborhood. So I don't think any of the neighbors would have approved a trailer sitting in their front yard or something like
that.
Well,
they would have got over it.
Yeah, well, you get some Karens out there, you'll never know what can happen.
You never know, right?
But, you know, it's...
How's it feel to graduate? I mean, seriously, give me a little insight. Is it just another step along the way? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I can go race full time. No, not full time, but go race more now. I don't worry about going back to school on Monday or whatever.
Now, graduation's on Sunday, right?
Yeah. So if I get to race this weekend at Tri-Cities, I got a long drive home Saturday.
What time is that
night.
On Sunday?
2:00.
And that's at Kearney, right?
Yeah.
I might have to come up there and watch you get your diploma.
Yeah, if you can't make it up at 2:00, come on after. I'll be at a car wash, washing the race car, so you'll see me.
Well, hold on,
town.
Hold on. Now, we were talking before we went on the air that you're not sure if you're going to go down there to Tri-City or not,
well,
right?
Well,
because the rain,
chance of rain.
The rain. It's what was the conditions down there at Tri-City this weekend?
Let me pull it up real quick. We got.
It was a pretty high percentage of rain.
Yeah, so Wednesday has an 80% chance of rain. Friday overnight has a 70% chance of rain.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I know. About a quarter of an inch of rain. And Saturday into Sunday, 43% chance of rain with a little over a quarter inch of rain. So it's...
It doesn't sound good.
It's not looking too good.
Yeah.
But...
You know what? Nobody wants to pull all the way to St. Louis from Kansas City. What's that about? It's probably about 4.5 hours down there, right? That's roughly.
Funny. Yeah, I remember.
How do you go down there? Do you take 24 down, or do you go the interstate all the way down?
We go to I-70 and across.
Yeah, that's
it's
the best way.
242 miles, 3 hours, 53 minutes.
Yeah. So, you know... When you got, because you're not running for points.
No,
you
just running for money.
You're just running for the money. So there's no sense of pulling all the way down there to sit in the rain and not race and burn all that fuel.
Yeah. No, we'll
and you buy motel rooms.
Yeah, right? that's going to be expensive, but we
anybody out there that wants to sponsor Austin with a toter home, we're looking. We need to get Austin in a toter home so he doesn't have to buy these damn motel rooms anymore.
Yeah, that'd be really nice.
So if anybody out there would be willing to loan Austin O'Neill, who's finished second in the ASCS Warrior Region Points last year, third the year before that, he's a young driver, he's an up-and-comer. If anybody out there would like to help Austin in any capacity, it doesn't matter what it is, please get a hold of Austin through his Facebook page or Twitter. You're on Twitter too, right?
I am.
Yeah. Just reach out to him. Try to help him out. The kid needs some help, right? We're just trying to get him. You know what we'd like to see? We'd all love to see Austin race up at Knoxville every week. That's what we'd like to see, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's where everybody's kind of goal is. Speaking of Knoxville, did you finally watch that race I told you to watch last night with Brown and Reitzel?
Oh, my gosh. We watched it. So,
yeah.
Do you think Reitzel was happy with Brown after that race?
I would say no.
Because Brown kind of chopped him going down the front straightaway, right? They kind of got together. And then about three laps later, Reitzel runs up and just drills Brown in the ass. Did you see him do that?
Yeah, well, he kind of threw...
Like showing his displeasure with Brown from that move that he made a couple laps before that.
Yeah, so, you know, Brian had a good run off at two on Aaron, and he had a shot to slide him. With Knoxville being so wide and long, you can run your slider out, you know, deeper into the corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, bail out probably just past the apex, and he did that and had a run on Aaron, and he just kind of hung the right rear over the cushion, and it just turned the car, and he was already going to go block his return slider into one, and it just came right across Aaron's front bumper, and I don't think it really... pleased Aaron.
All right. Well, Caleb says apparently Brown and Reitzel shook hands and had an okay chat. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Because I've been around Reitzel long enough to know, man, he doesn't like to put up with people's bullshit.
No, not at all.
He's just not a guy that puts up with people's crap. He's just not one of those guys. So if they shook hands afterwards, that both of them mean that was just good hard racing right here. Look. Bang! About took his right front off right there. Brown did, chopping him a little bit. And Brown even said in the post-race interview that he thought that Reitzel might not be too happy with him. He said that, didn't he?
Yeah, and well, you also have to look at it, too. Like, you know, so, you know, Brian kind of came across his nose off of four, and then I think it's on this following restart we're going to get to see here. You know, Aaron kind of gave him a shot to the rear bumper, and I think it was kind of like, hey, I owe you one, and you gave me one, so we kind of called it even at that point. But... you know, it's just tight racing in Knoxville. I mean, it was actually one of the best races I've seen up there this year.
Caleb said somebody asked Aaron if he was going to throw a bike at Brownie.
Hey, you never know.
Well, you know, I like both of them. You know, it's tough to beat Brian Brown, right, up at Knoxville.
It's tough to beat Brian by himself. Then you put Danny on the wrench. It's even tougher at that point.
Right. Let me ask you this. Do you think Brown is better with Danny than he was with Chad? Yes or no?
Oh, that's a tough question.
I mean, Chad's pretty good crew chief.
Chad's been... what Chad has over Danny was being with Brian for so long. I think he was with them 12 or 13 years.
Right.
And they've had they have a good chemistry together, and they knew how to read each other. And not that Danny and Brian don't, but it's just going to take a little bit of time to kind of get that chemistry back. And, I mean, it's the results are not showing that they're lacking it by no means. But, you know, I think they're both, you know, good in their respective, you know, groups.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Why don't we take a break? And again, this show, Mostly Motorsports, is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And we want to thank everybody that tunes into the show, our regular people that are in there every day with us. You know who you are. We appreciate you so much. It means so much to me and Austin that we have the same group of people we know that are going to be listening every day. And it makes us feel good that you guys are dedicated to coming back and watching our show each and every day here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. When we come back, we're going to visit with Seth Bergman, who picked up the win down at Lucas Oil Speedway last weekend. That's next right here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Our boy's graduating this weekend from high school. Do you believe that? 18 years old. He's turning into a man today. You didn't like that much, did you?
Oh, I don't.
Sure. I mean, you're 18 years old, and you're graduating from high school. That is the day, really. And we'll ask Seth this. Seth is joining us now, Seth Bergman on the show. Seth, are you a man when you're 18 and you graduate from high school? Does that make you a man?
Absolutely not.
It doesn't.
I feel like if you're just starting, like, okay, here you go. Here's the beginning stages. And no, you know just as well as I do. I don't know. That might be a long time ago for you, Scott.
It was 1979 for me.
I feel like if you're asking me, it's just the beginning stages of probably learning how to become your own man.
Yeah. So, man, a good run for you down there at Lucas Oil Speedway. Talk about that win down there. That had to feel pretty good, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I've been there quite a few times, and I've been close to winning races and been in position, just never been able to do it. It's one of the few places out here that's eluded me that I've been to. So,
yeah.
Going there, if I go to a place like that, and it's special like Lucas Oil Speedway, and I haven't won there, I want to win there. And then, yeah, we were really good all night and was able to get ourselves in position and got it done.
Yeah. Did it help a little bit starting up there towards the front? I think you started third, didn't you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely anytime you can start towards the front, it's not going to hurt your efforts, yeah. I think. So.
Yeah. Well, listen. So are the plans to run full time with the national tour this year and run for that champ? You know, we were talking about you just a little bit before we had you on that. There's only really four guys that I can look at. And I was really shocked that Dylan Westbrook wasn't there. But he was, where was he at last weekend?
I-96.
But I think that you, Blake, Matt, Dylan Westbrook are the guys that you got to beat for the championship this year. You've got to feel that way too, don't you?
I do. I feel like, you know, if we did commit or end up doing the whole thing, that I really feel like we would be extremely tough to beat. And I'm not overlooking. I mean, Blake has come into his own really well, and he's got a national championship now, and he's proven that he's fast consistently. And you know, I respect him, and Dylan's same way. He's gotten fast and consistent, and Matt's been there a long time as well. So, you know, like, not overlooking those guys. I mean, it was definitely going to be tough, but I feel like, you know, if we did, that we would certainly be tough to beat for the championship.
What, Seth, you've been doing this a long time. I've known you a long. What was the first year you were on the national tour?
So the first year I actually ran it full time was 2009. I had raced sprint cars. I was 20 or something the first year I did it, maybe. But I had raced sprint cars around home for 2 or 3 years before we actually did it. And then we went and did it. We did it 1 year, and finances were tough. And we took 2010 off. And then I got hooked up with a sponsor. And then I came back in 11. I want to say. And then I ran it like 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I don't know. I was there for as many years as I think you were.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What I remember about that first year you run in 09, I think you finished 11th in points that year. And then I think the next year you went back and didn't you win a championship in 4, 5, 6 races up at Grays Harbor that year, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, we won a bunch of races at Grays Harbor and won the championship there. And then won more races in a single year than I ever had up until that point. So going out and getting my butt kicked on the road it definitely helped me. I went on the road and I was extremely young and, just hadn't up until that point worked on my own cars a lot. I had my dad and some other people around home working on them. And it was a huge learning curve for me that year and a big eye-opener. And really was like, okay, if I want to do this seriously, I have a lot to learn here. So that year stands out in my mind a lot for those reasons.
When you ran the national tour that year, We say this all the time about guys. If you really want to learn how to be fast, you got to go out and you got to run with the fast guys. So you ran 09 with the national tour. Then you went back home and you win all these races up at Grace Harbor. You win the championship up there. Did you feel like you were faster when you went back home after running 1 year with the national tour?
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm. It just, I don't know, when you run against other guys who take it very seriously and want to make a career out of it, it does nothing but make you better. If you're vested into it, you want to get better, and that's what it did for me. I was around guys like Jason Johnson, and the first year, James Stewart, Gary Wright. The list goes on. Brady Bacon was running it. And Johnny Herrera was in. I think the first year I did it, there were 16 guys. I had raced against good competition before, being from Washington. There was names up there, and we'd raced a bit in Cali, but consistently racing against guys of that caliber and also teams. There was teams in place, professionals working on the cars. I got a lot better. It just showed me a lot about the sport that I hadn't been introduced to yet. Kind of, you know, for me, showed me, like, if I want to get serious and get better, I need to start modeling myself after some of these professionals, and I did. And
right.
And it got me going down a rabbit hole of just trying to improve myself and our equipment, and I'm still doing that today.
You know, I don't think people really realize how tough the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour was in 09, 010, and 11.
It was extremely tough. Those years there were a big influence on shaping me into part of the racer I am today.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. You mentioned you had Jason Johnson, Gary Wright, Brady Bacon,
Reitzel on tour then. Reitzel was there, but he was young. And Wright,
Wayne Johnson, Gary Wright.
Guys like Dick Crawley. Jack Dover was running a lot then. I remember he ran the tour.
Right.
There was a lot of names then that are still now in sprint car racing doing really good things.
So that brings me to a question, Seth, and I'm not trying to kick on anything 360 right here, right? But you're an exceptional 360 racer. You're one of the best drivers when it comes to 360 racing in the country. I'll just say it right now. You're one of the guys, when you show up at a 360 race and Seth Bergman's there, you're going to have to outrun Seth Bergman because you're good at what you do in a 360. But it's tough to make a living running 360s, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, obviously the money's not good, but with ASCS, their purses are good enough for the most part that if you're running up front,
you can do it.
Make some money. There's quite a few big races you need to perform well at. With the points fund, that helps. You can, if you're extremely good, you can scratch by and earn a living. But, you know, fortunately enough, I don't just rely on that anymore for income. That's a tough way just to make an income and support a family. So, you know, with being in business now, that's changed my environment and changed the landscape for me on how I'm making a living. So that plays into a lot of what I do now as well. Just giving myself and our family that security. But it's tough. I don't think there's any form of motorsports that's easy to make a living in. And,
right.
Yeah, you get to the 410 levels, and you're dealing with the best of the best, and those guys are hungry to make money too. So,
yeah, you know, you had a couple guys that you normally don't see running up there with you guys with the national tour guys that often. Now, Sean McClellan, we've seen him run. That guy's just a killer at Creek County. Wherever he shows up, he's good. But a guy like Miles Paulus that doesn't race full time all the time anymore. He's a past Warrior Region champion, right? He won the championship a couple years ago, didn't he, there, Austin?
Yeah, he won it like 2 years in a row.
Yeah, 2 years in a row. But when you get a guy like Miles Paulus mixing it up with you and Blake up there, and you haven't raced with that guy much, how does that change your approach when you're racing guys like that?
Yeah, it doesn't really. I just go about my business like normal, you know? I mean, I think it's great for teams and guys like Miles. I think he's trying to do his own thing now. I really love seeing guys trying to do their own thing and having success doing it. He's been around that area a lot, you know, he knows those tracks. So there's a handful of guys like that everywhere you go that are very competitive and taking it serious. And it doesn't change my approach at all. I like seeing guys that are putting effort forth like that to get better and do their own thing, have success. And, it looked like he had a good run there. I mean, he did have a good run there Saturday night with it.
Yeah. So what's the coffee special today at your place? Do you have a daily special when it comes to coffee?
Yeah, that's probably going to be a question for my wife.
That's not your your department.
I'm pretty, like, saying my routine, I don't venture out of much of what I drink. So I kind of get, when I get coffee, I get the same thing every time almost. But
daily special. What would that be, Seth? We want to know.
Lately, I've been drinking, it's iced vanilla Americano, 24-ounce, with a little bit of half and half. So that's what I'm drinking.
Would that give me the jitters if I drank it?
Absolutely. You'd want to know if I was dealing coffee or drugs, I promise.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I hate to say this because you're in the coffee business, but I've only drank one cup of coffee in my entire life.
That's all right. Hey, but it's one of them things, once you start drinking it, it's addictive, and it gives you, for me, I just like it. It gives you a nice little boost in the morning, and makes you feel good, gets you going, charges the batteries up, it feels like.
Does it make you crash after you drink it, though?
No, it doesn't. For me, it doesn't. Coffee's a little bit more natural than energy drinks and stuff. And
yeah.
So you don't get the crash. No, as long as you don't. I mean, we do drinks where you put a lot of sugar and stuff in them, and people prefer that with all the flavors and different things you can do now with your coffee drinks. But yeah, my drink, Americano, it's just a base of water and coffee with just a little bit of flavor. So no, there's no crash.
I'm going to have to come down there to one of your places and try one of your special blends of your type of coffee and see if I like it.
You have to, maybe. You know, we have a couple of sit-down spots now, so maybe do mostly motorsports on the road show or something. You can come to one of our coffee houses.
Oh, that's not, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. Maybe we'll try to do that someday.
Talk about racing or something.
Yeah, have you sit down with us and sit in for a show? That would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Bad idea.
Yeah. Seth, man, I always appreciate you taking the time to join us here on the show. I got a feeling that we're going to be talking to you a lot this year. Something tells me that this is your year to win the championship, bud. I don't know why it is, but I just feel it.
I appreciate that. I'm just all over the map on plans and things. You know, Terry's doing a great deal, and I think everything's going to go well there once he can get past this tire thing and some of these canceled dates. And I can't say that I'm 100% sure I'm actually going to chase it right now, that we're looking at some other things. You talked about 410 stuff. I might be trying to mix some of that stuff in. And
yeah,
I don't know what we're going to do. I know we're planning on going this weekend with them, and we're just going to kind of see where it goes. But I appreciate it. I definitely feel like we now have the people and the help and everything in place to where, you know, if that's what we do, I think that, you know, we'll definitely be right there for it.
It's kind of a bummer looking at the weather this weekend down there. It looks like it's going to rain quite a bit leading up to that event, and maybe even on Friday. That kind of sucks when you got to pull all the way down there and burn up that fuel with the price of fuel the way it is right now. If you get down there and you get rained out.
That's part of it, you know, just kind of with how weird racing is right now. Not knowing, you know, what might happen because of tires, and then, you know, having to drive that far and spend that money in diesel if the weather doesn't look good. Those are some things that are nice to try to avoid if, you know, you're not necessarily locked into a schedule.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Seth, thanks for taking the time joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. We sure appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you more this summer. Good luck to you this weekend down there at Tri-City, and have a good run, bud. All right?
All right. I appreciate it. I always appreciate you having me on, and I'll take the time to do it for you. And, yeah, like you said, hopefully we're talking many more times this year.
You know how you get on Mostly Motorsports? You win. You get in. That's how it works.
That's how you get on any of these things, and especially Mostly Motorsports. I don't expect to talk to you or any other guys if we're not winning. So that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah. All right, Seth. Thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate you.
Yes. Thank you very much.
All right. There you have it. That is Seth Bergman. Picked up the win last weekend down at Lucas Oil Speedway. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Let me get my eyeballs on here. I can't read if I can't see. I want to remind everybody that they need to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. I don't know if you've heard about it, but they're going to have an exhibit for Ascot Park Ascot Park was in Gardena, California. It was a great, great racetrack. A lot of legends raced there back in the day. So many famous drivers. And you're going to learn about the drivers and some of the cars that race there. They're going to have those cars up there at the museum. And that started on May 1st, and it's going to go through October 1st. That's inside the museum. Again, this is all about Ascot Park. You'll learn, again, about the drivers. You'll see some of the cars that race there. They're going to have T-shirts and posters that you can buy that are affiliated with Ascot Park. It's one of the greatest racetracks of all time. And it's going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. All you need to do is go over there and turn two at Knoxville Raceway, go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, go inside. They're open 7 days a week, folks. So you don't have an excuse. Oh, I can't get there on the weekends. They're going to be closed. Nope, that's not the case. They're open 7 days a week. So you can go there on Sunday. You can go there on Saturday. And it's a great experience. I'm telling you, if you want to learn the history of sprint car racing, there's no place better than the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And it's a great time to go up there, again, because they've got this display for Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. So go and check it out. But if you can't get there and you can't get there in person, you can always go online and shop at SprintCarStuff.com. That's SprintCarStuff.com. You can always go there and find some of your favorite stuff that are in the front of the museum. One of the great places to buy sprint car memorabilia, folks. I'm just telling you. So go to SprintCarStuff.com if you can't make it in person. But better yet, go to Knoxville Raceway, watch the races, and while you're there, go over to Turn 2 and go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and tell Bob Baker the Racing Boys sent you, would you? All right. We did forget to mention, right, that Wayne Johnson is going to be one of those guys that's going to contend for the championship. And listen, I keep forgetting that Wayne's going to run full-time because originally when he was on this show, Austin, did he not say – he was not going to run for the national tour. He said that, didn't he?
Yeah, he denied it for... He was on...
A couple times.
Yeah, he was on twice. He denied it both times. And like 2 days after he came on the second time, they had a press release come out saying they was going to run the tour full time. So, yeah, still getting
it. It was like a week after he said he wasn't going
to... Maybe a week after, not 2 days. But we're still trying to get adjusted to seeing Wayne on the tour now.
Wayne Johnson's going to be a championship contender.
He's already, he won in what, his first or second race back with us?
Yeah. I mean, there's no, let's see where he's at in the points right now.
He's leading it. He's leading it like by 36 or 39 points over Blake Hahn.
Oh, he is. Let me see this. I'm getting back up to the national tour points here. Points. Now, I'm kind of slow. I'm not
he's
like
36 points ahead of Blake Hahn.
He is 36 points up. So who do you think has the best chance of winning this championship? Let's just go over this real quick, all right? Wayne Johnson, Blake Hahn, Seth Bergman. Listen, Jason Martin, a rookie. He's fourth in the points right now. Dylan Westbrook. Those are really the four. Now, Tim Crawley, I don't think he's going to run full-time with the National Tour. Maybe he will.
They did announce that him and Landon would do it.
They're going to run the entire deal?
Yeah, we'll just see how long everybody just lasts this year.
Right. Well, you know, with the price of fuel, that could deter some people from running full-time with the tour. So out of the let's throw Tim Crawley in there, all right? Wayne Johnson, Blake Hahn, Seth Bergman, Jason Martin, Dylan Westbrook, Tim Crawley. Who's got the best chance to win the championship there?
Well, we're only four races in, so it's going to be kind of hard to predict
who's got the most speed out of all those guys, you think?
I mean, it's been a while since we've seen them race. What was it, March 1st of April when they last raced? I think, you know, I hate to pick against Blake Hahn. I think
he's got to be the favorite,
the,
right?
The one.
Right.
I mean, I think Wayne and his experience is going to be just as good, and
don't count out Seth Bergman.
I mean, I think Seth and Westbrook are on the same level.
I do too.
So
yeah.
we'll come back. We'll circle back to this in a month and see what, you know, what our races look like and
after,
and what everything
after this weekend. Yeah, we'll kind of pile it up a little bit after this weekend. Hey, Austin, I seen your dad. I was picking up a package at his work. That's Leroy Morrison checking in there.
Yeah, it sounds like Leroy stopped in at the Marmon Keystone warehouse down there in, I think, Casey K's works at. Yeah. I might be wrong. No, it's Kansas City, Missouri, just by the river.
So I got to go on a little bit of a rant here. Yesterday, I don't know if anybody listens to NASCAR radio. You know, we listen to it because you can get a lot of nuggets of information when you're listening to those shows. Those guys do a great job on the show. But Dave Moody is their afternoon guy, right? And Dave Moody yesterday was ragging on the people at Kansas Speedway for not showing up for that race this weekend. And let me just say, Dave Moody, get your head out of your ass. Think about it just a little bit, would you? Kansas City draws people from a four-state area around Kansas Speedway. Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri. That's where everybody comes from, right? And there's a storm going on behind me right as I speak. You see that? Lightning started going. Let me just say this, Dave Moody. Just think about it for a second. If you're up in Iowa, or you're in Nebraska, or you're way out in Kansas, and you're looking at the weather, and it's pouring its ass off in Kansas City at noon, 11:30, 12 o'clock, are you going to get in your car and drive all the way to Kansas Speedway to get rained out and then have to come home because you can't go on Monday because you got to go to work?
I have friends that used to be season ticket holders at the Speedway,
right,
from South Dakota.
Right. I mean,
you're driving almost 6 to 7 hours to Kansas Speedway to watch a race. And
What would you rather do, eat the tickets or drive all the way down here?
How much was a ticket for the race?
I don't know.
Kirk, do you know?
Kirk hasn't paid for a ticket in 25 years. I would say
Kirk
ticket
usually knows that.
A ticket's got to be somewhere around $7,500, though, doesn't it?
Let me try and look.
Maybe you can take a look and look that up. Austin is so fast with his thumbs on his phone. I'm telling you, I don't know how these kids do it nowadays. They can get on that phone and pull stuff up really quick. I bet you he has the answer how much tickets are before you know it.
The average cost was $84.60. So, I mean, if you have a family of four, that's, you know, around, you know, $300 or so, and you're going to spend that and probably fuel down and back if you're coming from South Dakota.
Yeah, and not only that, but spend the amount of time that you got to drive down from South Dakota, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So would it be better for you to eat the tickets than to drive all the way down here, get rained out, and then drive home? I think that me personally, if I see it's going to rain, I'm not going to drive 6-7 hours
no.
to come
no,
watch then, a race just to get rained out. So I drive 6 or 7 hours back home and not see a race. I'm not going to do that.
No, I mean, any reasonable thinking human being will do what we just said.
Right.
You know, I think old Dave Moody's just stuck up there in NASCAR fairyland.
Well, you know, it ticked me and Kirk off a little bit yesterday because he doesn't understand that the crowd at Kansas Speedway is a walk-up crowd.
Yes.
For the most part. Most people, listen, Kansas Speedway doesn't sell so many tickets that you can't get your tickets the day of the show. So there's a lot of people that I think that just drive down, go up, try to buy the best ticket they can at the pay window, and go in. And those kind of people are not going to show up when it's pouring down. I mean, Austin, was it raining hard Sunday morning?
It was raining hard.
I mean,
it flooded out my yard.
Right.
And it was only raining for a couple hours.
Right. I don't know. Am I being too hard on Moody, you think?
No, not at all.
No.
I mean, he brought it on himself. I mean, it's just, I mean, you got to look at the bigger picture. You know, it's not just
the price of fuel, the price of motel rooms, and all that goes with it.
What's your average NASCAR walk up you know, attendee, they don't know. I mean, they average fans know what's going on. But let's say you're out at the Mall at the Legends and you see the NASCAR race and you see the rain coming in. Well, you're not going to go do it because you can go back shopping. They don't understand how the process is of either postponing right. the race till Monday or having the jet riders out there. So,
right.
I mean, you're just going to lose your fan anyways. I mean, he just doesn't look at it at the right way or with the bigger picture.
Marie, you're a hardcore sprint car fan, and that's what we love the most about you. She said, I set 6 hours Friday night at the Grove, and we rained out. Thank God they took the rain check Saturday night. So they took the rain check for Saturday night. But how many people want to go and sit at a racetrack for 6 hours while it rains?
Not many people are like Marie,
right? Marie is a hardcore sprint car fan, and that's why she does it. Because she wants to see the races worse than anybody else. But not many people are like that.
No.
But I will tell you, when I did show up out there at the racetrack on Sunday, there was a ton of people hiding out wherever they could to stay out of the rain so they could watch the races that week. So, I don't know. What about, we talked about Brownie winning. What about Riley Kreisel winning that Power Eye War sprint race down there at Wheatland? Did you get to watch any of that?
I haven't watched the highlights yet. Like I said yesterday, I was on the grid during the feature, and I talked to Riley after the races, and it was his first win since like 2020. He went all last year without a win, and
no way
he won the King of the Hill race at Sweet Springs, which they had six cars could do like a little like expedition race.
Yeah.
But he really didn't count.
Only six cars.
Yeah, he didn't count that as a win. And right. You know, Luxor isn't one of his strong tracks, and it was good to see him go down there and get the season started off on the right foot, and hopefully carry his momentum, you know, into the Hockett this year.
Right. You know who I felt bad for last weekend? Linton Jeffrey.
Yes.
He was running up front there, and it looked like, there for a minute, it looked like he might win the race, but at the very least, it looked like he was going to run second, didn't it?
Yeah.
And he broke when they were coming around to take the white flag lap up at Knoxville.
Yeah, I think once he lost the lead to Brown, you know, his chance at winning was kind of over. And, you know, if he didn't have that problem that restart, I think he could have held on for second. You know, he wasn't doing what anybody else was doing. You know, he was one of the few cars that, you know, had the wing all the way back and kind of right in the middle of the track where all the dirt was kicked up off the bottom, and he was the only one really making it work because Brown was on the top, and same with Reitzel. Reitzel hit the bottom for a couple laps, but you know, he had a good rebound the next night at Husitz. You know, he picked up the win, and it's always good when you go from a hero, from a zero to a hero.
Right. Brent Marks picked up the win at Williams Grove, but I think the biggest news out of that race was Carson Macedo come up light at the scales after the race, didn't he?
He did. I didn't see. I had the Outlaw press release pulled up. He was a couple of pounds light, and it's just, you know, in sprint car racing, it doesn't make sense to carry the fuel load around. You're so tight on how much you want to put in and, you know, minimizing your weight.
You want to cut it as close as you can.
Yeah, pretty much. And they just either had a couple of yellows fall the wrong way and came across a couple pounds light, and something you don't see every day with a sprint car race.
Yeah. Well, that was a bad deal for Carson Macedo to finish that well. And then you don't get any points out of that, right? Where's he at now in the world of outlaw points, Austin? Let me look that up here real quick.
He was 5 pounds light.
5 pounds?
Yes.
Wow.
The press release says, a few gallons of fuel and a mere 5 pounds is what gave us the biggest swing in the championship standings when Carson Macedo rolled across the scales light.
All right, so let's see what we got here in the driver's points. Carson Macedo is now third in points, 42 points back. If he would have had, I don't know how many points he lost there. Does it say how many points he loses for that? I'm not really sure how many points that he
went
would
from
lose.
A 4-point lead down to 42 points back. So, I mean, he lost
a lot of points.
He lost 46 points in that deal.
46 points.
Yes.
Wow. Well, that's a bummer, and that's not going to be easy to make up either.
Not in a short period of time. And I think over the season, he will be able to make it up. I mean, we're still pretty, you know, early in, and what we're probably 15, 16 races in.
Right.
And they're running about 90, 92 races. So, I mean, he has plenty of time to make it up. Just, you just can't make little mistakes like that, because you start making mistakes, they start adding up, and, you know, at some point, you're in a hole that's yours.
It backfires on you a little bit, Brad Sweet is currently the point leader right now. He's got a 24-point lead over David Gravel. And Carson Macedo, as I mentioned, is 42 points back. Sheldon Hodenshield is 82 points back. And rounding out the top five, Logan Schuhart is 102 points back out of the lead. So there you have it. Those are the top five guys in the World of Outlaw points. All right, Austin. Well, anything else you want to get in? Hey, so you're gonna get your diploma on Sunday. You're going to walk across the stage and get your diploma?
I am.
You are?
I am.
How many family members are going to go up there and watch?
They only sell you 8 tickets, so however many my family will fill up in 8. I can't remember who all's going to be going. I probably should know that, but...
You don't?
I'll let my mom take care of that.
That's her business, right? Yeah. All right.
I got merchandising and race cars to sell and build.
You're not thinking about graduation. You're thinking about racing. What's the chances of you going down there this weekend? Probably slim to none?
I mean, as of now, we're planning on going. It's just we'll see what happens tomorrow and Thursday.
Marie said Gravel was spitting at the end. Was sputtering? Spitting?
I mean, out of fuel.
Out of fuel, probably? Yeah. He was light, and Allen and out.
Yeah, Jacob Allen ran out of fuel. I can't remember. Just a couple to go.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. Another edition of Mostly Motorsports today. We hope that you'll come back and join us tomorrow. Tomorrow is post day, right?
Steve Wednesday.
Post day, right? Yep. I'm remembering what day it is.
Good.
Austin.
Do you know who's on Thursday?
We have on Thursday, tell me who we have.
Chase Rodman,
pit reporter for the World of Outlaws, is going to be on with us on Thursday as well. That'll be a good show, talking about the World of Outlaws. You know, he's as good as they get, really, when it comes to pit reporting, don't you think?
I think he's one of my favorites.
The only other guy that I like as much as him is the boy that worked with us down there at the Chili Bowl, Connor Wade.
Yeah, he's pretty good,
too. He's pretty good, yeah. He's very studious.
They both are.
Yeah, very good. So we'll visit with Chase Rodman on Thursday, and tomorrow we'll have Steve Post in. We'll talk to him about what happened with the sprint car racing and last weekend at Kansas Speedway. So for Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traley. We want to thank my partner Kirk Elliott for hanging out with us here as well. We'll be back tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin, I'm Scott. See you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.